Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Look, life gets tough for everybody. And, you know, the ups and downs can take a toll on your mental health. Thankfully, BetterHelp is here, a new sponsor of the ALN podcast, available worldwide. And it's available for you to reach out to somebody to have some chats with about what you're going through. You know, it's like a weekly therapist that you can schedule and have through video and phone sessions, also available on your desktop, mobile, web, Android, and iOS apps. You can send messages 24/7, 365 to get matched with a counselor who's right for you, professional and affordable counseling, because we all need it. You know what I'm saying? I just started getting into therapy, and it's changing a lot of stuff for me. You must be 18 or older to join. We have a custom link for you, betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight. And you sign up. It's proactive mental health. It's not a crisis line. Financial aid is available. The expertise in this network is locally available in many areas. But regardless, if it's not close by for you, again, video and phone sessions are available. And it's easy to change counselors if you're not happy with the one that you get matched with. But I highly recommend it. And again, betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight. Find a professional and affordable counselor for you to just chat with and, you know, navigate through the tricky waters of life, because it can get a little bumpy out there, as Mariah Carey once said. I don't know if she said that, but hey, it's even gotten bumpy for her. betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight and start treating yourself to some help. Some mental help. We all need it. Hey guys, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Happy Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. What a weekend I had in Seattle. I was at home, bouncing around from Buffalo to Boston to Arizona, and now back in Seattle, and heading back to LA tomorrow. And then I got a full week ahead, which finishes off with a weekend at the Stress Factory in New Brunswick, New Jersey, for the first time. If you live in New Jersey or anywhere adjacent, New York, wherever, please come out and see me at the Stress Factory in New Brunswick, New Jersey, Thursday through Saturday, October 11th through the 13th. Come out and see me, Stress Factory, New Jersey. Can't wait. Going to be a blast. First time playing that club. And, you know, I've heard a lot of great things, and I'm very pumped. I'll be shooting a TV show after that for a few days out there in New Jersey. And then I go on the Adam Devine tour starting October 19th. So check AdamRayComedy.com and just Google Adam Devine tour dates to see all the fun where we're having it. Brad this weekend is in Erie, Pennsylvania at Junior's Last Laugh Thursday through Saturday, October 11th through the 13th. Brad Williams, Junior's Laugh Laugh in Erie, Pennsylvania. Get your tickets at BradWilliamsComedy.com. AboutLastNightPodcast.com for all your past and present ALN eps and your ALN merch, beanies, shirts, sweats. ShopAdamRay.com for all your Adam Ray merch. I got a bunch of new shit up there. Quick fat shirts, hoodies, hats, shirts. ShopAdamRay.com for all your Adam Ray merch. Of course, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and rate the podcast. Give it a 5-star rating. Email us at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com. How you got the pod, why you love it, where you listen to it. We'll read some of those emails on air and give you some free merch if you get picked to be fan of the week. A lot of great apps coming up. Thomas Lennon, Paul Feig, Brent Morin. So make sure you're subscribed, because there's so many great apps on the way. Speaking of great apps, today's app is with the one and only Ben Bailey from Cash Cab. It's back on Discovery Channel. Ben is one of the best in the biz, a great comic, a great dude, and a great host. And man, this episode just has it all the laughs, all the backstory, and all the fun that you would want in any classic ALN app. So enjoy the hell out of this one, and follow Ben on Twitter at RealBenBailey. Follow me at Adam Ray Comedy, at FunnyBrad, at ALN Podcast, Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram, ALN Podcast on Instagram, RealBenBailey on Instagram, and Brad Williams Comic on Instagram. And shit, I think that's it. All right, American Vandal, still going. I'm in it, season 2. She-Ra drops November 16th on Netflix. I'll be in that. And I think that's it. Now we've got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way. Sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with a very funny Ben Bailey.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast. Dinner on.
It's about last night.
Is he one of the guys from The Sopranos? he looks like that, yeah. That other dude that
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
But I know he's not.
He looks like Big Pussy from The Sopranos.
Looks like Big Pussy.
Yeah.
I love you, Johnny Cakes.
Was that?
No, that was Sal. But I just.
This yeah. might be awful to admit in front of two gentlemen who clearly are fans of that show. But I have not seen an episode yet.
You've never seen The Sopranos at all? Nothing?
You know what?
No, I saw...
the fuck?
No, I saw one episode, but I don't know what season and what... But look, I feel worse about that than I do... I was about to say Yes to the Dress. Game of Thrones.
Say Yes to the Dress.
Yeah. That's on par with Game of Thrones, right?
It's got the same budget.
Yeah.
No, you know what? I can't even talk shit to you about not seeing The Sopranos because I'm that guy that's never seen The Wire, and whenever I say that,
I'm that guy
too. People want to fight me.
I'm The Wire guy too. I've never seen it.
Like legit, like they get like you could tell someone, oh yeah, you know, I'm banging your ex girlfriend. They'd be like, well, okay,
they're like, oh,
whatever.
Geez.
Like, but then if you say,
and also,
I haven't watched
I've never
The Wire,
seen The Wire.
Yeah, also never seen The Wire. Hey, fuck you, man.
There's more to
you
this. Yeah,
fucking piece of shit.
I thought we were cool.
Who do you think you are? I thought we were cool. I've had the same reaction.
Yeah,
and people in disbelief.
Yeah,
just, they're like, yes, you have. I'm like, no,
no, because I think I'd remember. Yeah. Like, it's the greatest show of all time. Like I'm. Fully aware.
Yeah. It's but, so many people have told me that now I'm not, like, I feel like I can't watch it.
Right, because now...
Yeah, that does
never
happen.
Live up. Like,
if, like, 5 minutes in, you don't have a raging erection going, this is the greatest show of all time. It's going to be... By the way, that's how I watch all TV.
All TV just, with yeah, naked, full hard on.
That's how you change the channel.
Yeah, exactly.
They're, like, I have that with Braveheart, which I know that's a big one to see, but...
You've never seen Braveheart?
All right, now we're...
Boy, look, I just got a TV.
Fuck! It's one thing you fuck my girlfriend, you son of a bitch.
What if the theme of this podcast was make Ben Bailey angry? And it was just like tell him all these things you haven't seen. But I have seen Shanghai Nights twice in the theaters.
Oh, okay. All right.
There you go. See? And that's
lost
the reaction.
Lost another couple of points.
Has that? I feel like that reaction has got to be consistent with Cash Cab, no?
Oh, do you have
if
like
if you
that?
Haven't seen it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Fuck you, man.
Or know what it is.
For me personally, that's how I react. But I don't know if that's true for everyone. No, people like feel guilty if they don't know it. Like if people are like, oh my God, you're the Cash Cab guy. And then there's one person who's like, what the fuck is that? They feel guilty.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't care. I don't expect everyone on earth to know who I am or what
I'm
I
not
did.
Not keeping
you know?
A tally.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't hold it against you.
But it is one of those shows that, and you can probably speak to this more so, but as an onlooker and an audience member to just, you know, TV and film, like it seems like, also 7 seasons, right? The first run?
Yeah. Eight. Like, eight the first time and then.
That's bonkers.
No, 10.
10?
Yeah, sorry.
Holy
ten
shit.
Seasons.
10 seasons. Of like 9,000 episodes a season.
40 episodes a season.
40 episodes in a season.
And we've done two more since.
That's
we
right.
We came back last year.
Right.
That's, I think the last one is on Saturday.
Of the last run.
The last one of the newest run.
Of the newest
yeah,
run.
But you can go on Discovery Now.
Yes,
right?
You can.
And
yep.
And then just watch Cash Cab there. And here's the thing about Cash Cab. In this world of like where every show... has a message and a greater vibe and will make you feel things and will make you like where like because like there's certain shows where I have to block out like time in my schedule to watch it. I can't right. casually watch Better Call Saul.
Right,
I
right.
have to sit there. I have to focus. I have to watch the show. Cat and in this time of like crazy news that just makes you depressed, Cash Cab is just one of those shows where you can watch it. And be happy.
And always feel good.
Right, right.
And participate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
but
that's
also,
awesome. Thanks, man.
But also feel very,
it feels
very
good.
Dumb.
Yeah, you can also feel ignorant.
I watched an episode last
wow,
night.
Wow, I don't know shit.
Dude, and there's. I have to assume that they needed you to be like, you know, like intelligent enough to be able to, I mean, I don't know if there's spoiling anything, but how much of that stuff, like I was watching one last night with a gal who won 850. She went for, she doubled it with the video bonus.
Right.
And, I...
That is correct.
It's like a Pavlov dog yeah, response. Yeah.
That is correct. Yeah, yeah. That's tell what I say when the bell rings.
Tell him what he's won, Johnny. But she went. For, she the every question. You know, I was like, all right, at least the $25 ones I'll know. Like, I didn't even know those.
But oh, it's man. Like a Slumdog Millionaire thing.
Yes,
dude. If you know it. you know it. If you don't, you don't. It's luck of the draw.
How much of a say do you get in, and have you had in all the episodes of chiming of in with questions?
What
and
questions?
Answers?
Yeah, I have veto power.
That's awesome.
So, I'll be like, nah, I'm not asking that. I'll be like, why not?
So, because there's a movement going on. Yeah, I can't say, will you take your shirt off for this question? That's weird. Yeah.
On the children's show Paw Patrol, which dog is wildly voted as the sexiest? No, I'm not. No, I'm not asking that question.
I can't do that. It's obvious. It's so obviously Sniffles. Yeah.
That's probably right. By the way, the same people that get upset you haven't seen The Wire get upset that you haven't seen Paw Patrol.
Not one episode of Paw Patrol.
Sorry, it's not in my
97 queue. Seasons it's been on.
Wow. No, well, that's definitely not right.
I have no idea. my nephew is going nuts because that's all he watches.
Yeah. I want to get back and talk a lot of Cash Cab, but I do want to know about growing up in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Wow. That's the first time anyone has ever asked me that in an interview.
For real?
Yep.
That's done. So fascinating to me because I've been to Kentucky once. And I had a pleasant experience.
Well, I don't want to disappoint, but I didn't actually grow up there. I was born there.
Oh, God. Born there.
Okay. And I lived there for like a year.
What was it like?
All it was right, a pretty good year.
Coming out of the womb in Kentucky.
From my memory, it was pretty good.
This has been Ben Bailey, everybody, because that's all we wanted.
I took a lot of naps.
We just wanted Kentucky talk. That's all we wanted.
My year in Kentucky.
That's
eat,
actually...
sleep, poop, repeat.
Shortest book ever.
Starring Julia Roberts.
Yeah. And I'd see it. Now I'm hooked. This is how movies get made, right?
Sequel to Eat, Pray, Love, Eat, Sleep, Poop.
Yeah. That was the original title.
Sure. It's a good
Wait,
one.
So what did your at what point did you move from there to New Jersey, right?
Yeah, we moved I was born in Kentucky and then in Bowling Green, then we moved to Detroit.
Okay.
Rochester, Michigan.
Nice.
And then back to Kentucky. To Louisville, Kentucky.
Yep.
Oh, I don't know. I never say it correctly.
No.
However you're supposed to say it, I always think that's the wrong way, and then I say it the other way.
They say Louisville.
I can't even repeat that.
Yeah, no, it's weird.
Louisville?
I live there. Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
I just
Welcome
stutter.
Louisville. Some people are like, Louisville.
There's an S there.
Oh, yeah.
There's an S there, you a-holes.
Yeah, it's supposed to be Louisville.
Louisville. Those are fine.
No. St. Louis. St. Louisville. Louis.
Yeah, it's St. Louis, not St. Lowell.
St. Louis. Well, they say St. Lou. Or St. Lou. Or... Everybody has to abbreviate
then
something.
Take the S
everything.
Out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just get rid of it.
Yeah. I'm not a dwarf. I'm a dwarf.
Nice. You are now.
Son of a bitch.
Beware the dwarf. What's that from? Isn't that from Shakespeare's? Beware the dwarf.
Yeah. Beware the Ides of March. Beware the dwarf. Same thing.
Yeah.
Same book.
But didn't they leave the F off? Leave off the last F for savings.
Yeah. Sorry, beware the dwarf.
No, that was
beware
perfect.
Beware the dwarf. Oh, no, it's from fucking Foul Play.
Oh,
beware
shit.
Beware the dwarf.
I should
it's
know that.
It's a little bit less respectable than Shakespeare. Foul
Slightly.
Play or yeah, it's yeah. Foul Play. Yeah. I was going to say, it seems like old times was Foul Play.
Now, why was your family moving around that much?
My dad changed jobs. He worked for General Motors.
Okay, hence Detroit.
Hence Detroit, and then he worked for General Electric, hence Louisville.
And then he wanted to make cereal, so he worked for General Mills.
Yeah. Nice,
only
right?
generals. One general.
And now he's selling auto insurance for the general. Yeah. He's just got a theme.
He's the spokesman for that. He's the guy in all the ads. That's my dad.
Three Rice Krispies for life, by the way.
He's the guy talking to Shaq. That's unbelievable. That's crazy.
Did you like to move or did make it? I feel like there's always something that it did.
Sucked. Moving sucked, yeah. Just being the new kid sucked.
But that does that for... I feel like every comedian's got like something like that early on that kind of like either makes you...
That makes you... empty inside.
Yes, yeah. But also like...
Tell us about your pain, Ben Bailey.
Forced to, like, I don't know, either go through something that where you're like put in a position to be more social or the opposite, yeah? But when you moved around,
totally, yeah.
You were just like, did you have an easy time like making new friends? And
No.
Yeah.
No. Well, when I was younger, in the first couple of moves I did, it was fine. But then like when we moved to the final... to our final destination in Central Jersey, it was rough, man.
Yeah.
It was rough to be the new kid. Yeah. And I was like as big as the biggest kid. And oh, so everybody was like, oh, you're going to have to...
They fight
this is like this little white bread, very like kind of well-to-do town.
Yeah.
by the way, and they were the meanest out of all the kids anywhere. That I had to fight like the four biggest kids one after the other on the first day of school.
Are you fucking kidding
me? No, I was forced to do it, yeah.
Well, by who, the principal?
By like all the kids. Yeah, the principal.
Look, this is how it works.
Where's the new kid? It's like Mad Max in the cafeteria.
Oh, shit. Wait, so like, was it just the kids' logic of like, well, we have three other big guys, and you're a big guy,
so we
got to play King of the Monsters and just see who the hell wins.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it was just bad timing. Like, I showed up right after they had established who was the the head asshole, and then they made me fight for that title. I tackled the biggest kid. He was actually, there's one kid who's way bigger than everybody, but he wasn't like the tough guy, popular kid. He was like so big that he was an outcast himself. First, they made me like fight with him. They like goaded us into a fight. And I didn't want to, but he seemed into it. He was like, let's get this over with. So I like jumped and tackled him, but like I jumped too far. Like I hooked my arm around his neck and I ended up pulling him down on top of me and he landed on my knee. And then it hurt my knee so badly that I couldn't get up.
Oh,
and then the bell rang for the first day of school, my new school, and everyone ran inside. I was just sitting on the lawn. I couldn't get up. So I was just sitting there kind of crying, you know.
Yeah, and then you got your first class and they're like, why are you late? Like, well, I had to fight a kid.
I had to fight the abominable snowman. Fucking no, here's what happened.
So it's gonna take a little bit of time.
Yeah. The janitor came out.
Of course.
The janitor saw me out, or he came to close up the doors and he saw me sitting on the grass and he came over and he said, what happened, buddy? And I said, I had to fight the biggest kid in school and I tackled him and I think I broke my knee. You know,
I'm
like a mess, right?
Yeah, right.
And he goes, you know what I'm gonna do for you? I go, no, what are you going to do? He goes, you see that bell up in the tower? There's a bell tower over there. It's like an old-fashioned little schoolhouse. He goes, I'm going to go get that bell, and I'm going to take it down out of there. I'm going to bring it down here. I'm going to hold it over your head, and I'm going to hit it with a hammer as hard as I can.
And I was waiting for something sweet. Like,
I thought it was going to be like, I just saw Back to the Future. We're going back in time to kick that guy's ass.
Yeah.
And I go, why? And he goes, so you'll forget all about the pain in your knee.
Jesus, dude. I've heard
who
of
raised
like
you.
Yeah, I've heard
he
of like
he just helped me. He didn't do any of that.
Thank God, because I've heard of like
he helped me into
military
school.
Torture techniques where you do shit like that, but holy crap.
He was trying to make a joke and distract me from the pain, but he really just scared the crap out of me.
You're like, dude, we don't have comedic sensibilities.
Like, what is this place? You know, he wouldn't have known that it was my first day in a new school in a new town either. So I don't know.
It's always the janitor coming to the rescue in those new situations, I feel like. When everyone clears out, the janitor always like starts mopping out of nowhere. Just like,
right,
like
I almost
like another way that could have gone was like you slowly looking up and a hand entering frame of just like, give me your hand, right? And then he like takes you to the closet and you know, gives you weed and snacks and like, I don't know. And then he's like, it's going to, anytime
that
you feel
way better.
Anytime you feel
really happy. Weed and snacks.
I mean, that's pretty much a good solution for
welcome
anything.
To fourth grade, son.
Yeah. You'll need this.
Yeah, things can get rough.
Good shit, man.
You're going to forget math, but you'll never be sad.
Man. So then, like, were you able to recover from that initial
beatdown? I had to go to the office. And I was, my leg after a while was okay, but I still was kind of hobbling later on my way home, but I could walk. But I went to the office, and there were two other new kids there, because I guess all the new kids had to go to the office on the first day.
Okay.
I went because I didn't know where to go, and I fucked up my leg. And the other two kids were there because they were the new kids.
Yeah.
And one of them, I got introduced to them. One of them was a girl, and our families became good friends and was like awesome. So
nice.
It was cool that we kind of bonded there.
Yeah.
The other one was this guy who we were friends too, but the funny part about that is that he was like, he goes, are you guys new kids too? And we were like, yeah. And he goes, oh, brother. And he like goes to put his head down. He's got a pencil in his hand. And he stabs himself in the forehead, right in the middle of his forehead with his pencil. And he sits back up with a pencil sticking out of his forehead. And he goes, oh, my God. And he just goes pale and passes out. And the nurse has to come and they hold him away. I'm like, man, I thought I was having a bad first day. I didn't stab myself in the face
janitor,
with a fucking pencil.
Janitor comes in, hits him with the bell.
Yeah, he comes in.
You forget about that pencil real quick.
Let me help you with that. Bong. That dude, when we graduated high school, you could still see the lead little piece of lead in his forehead.
Did he go to school with Lenny from Mice and Men? What the fuck is that?
Did he get Lenny meant to pet him so hard.
You have to get a nickname from that, right?
His
nickname was Stew.
Oh, such a lost opportunity.
Because of his last name, yeah.
I think
could have been Leadhead.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah.
Or, I mean,
Pencil Popper.
I'm going to really have a random reference here. There was an old wrestling manager called Classy Freddy Blassie, and he would call people Pencil Neck Geeks.
Right. Oh, I remember that guy.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Pencil Neck Geeks.
I'm not insane. Okay. No. Yeah. No, Adam's just like, yeah, that was probably a thing. Yeah,
I remember Hulk Hogan.
There you go.
Was he friends with him?
Probably.
George the Animal Steel.
Yeah. So like no pencil related nicknames for the guy that stabbed himself in the head on the very first day.
He was a super nice, very smart, talented guy, but a little bit nerdy and got people picked on him, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
like he had to take piano lessons. His mom came out and was like, "Time to tickle the ivories."
Another way to say that, mom.
Yeah. And he was and he was kind of known for that. And
there's always the kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
The mom's voice back to him.
Totally. Yeah.
Have fun tickling the ivories. when parents make it that easy, it's like all you got to do is like.
I feel bad for those kids because it's like, it's hard enough trying to fit in as it is. Then your mom or dad coming up going, "You forgot your ascot." You know? Fuck. Now I'm never gonna know anybody.
My mom helped me.
It was
me.
Hard enough without that. It pushed me over the edge.
Did your folks try to chime in with any of when the fight went down, did they give you advice or try to?
I don't think they ever knew about it.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah, I never told anybody about it.
Oh, so
until
just like
just now.
For real?
No. No, I've talked about it with my friends and shit. But I never told my parents. I never told them anything, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was sort of back in the day when it was just you didn't do that. You just sort of figured it out on your own.
What happens in the playground stays in the playground.
Yeah.
It really does.
For sure. Like,
yeah.
Because you don't want your... I think even at a young age, like you don't you understand the ramifications of your folks making a call and getting involved and embarrassing you.
Yeah, or it'd just be worse.
Because the principals or nurses or whoever is in charge has no self-awareness of like the timing. Like they might bust in on a class full of kids and be like, "Hey, your mom called and said, Jimmy, stop hitting them." And you're like, "God damn it."
Now it's like, well, Jimmy's going to stop, but now we're all going to hit you.
Yeah.
Everybody, while Jimmy watches and cheers, everyone else is going to beat the crap out of you.
Jimmy goes, "Not only am I going to beat you up, I'm going to fuck your mom for saying that." You're like, I think you're jumping to conclusions, man. Just beat me up. Were you like a funny kid in school? Like once you found your way?
I was. That's where I figured out how to be funny first.
You know, nice.
Was like trying to find some ground to stand on in the new schools.
Yeah.
Like, if I can make people laugh, then they'll like it, you know?
Yeah.
They'll like me. And it was easier to make the girls laugh.
Oh, really?
Than the dudes, yeah.
Well, you're always the big kid. So
I was one of the bigger kids.
Yes. Yeah.
I was a wimp, you know?
Oh, really?
At that point in my life, I was totally. Although I did tackle the biggest kid in the school.
I was going to say, day one, that has to mean something, right?
Yeah. I always thought I was kind of a wuss as a kid.
But then
when I got older, I like...
I don't have any stories like that. I've got like stories like, I tackled a pug one time. that's like my equivalent.
That's pretty brave.
Oh, man. It was a big pug. Must have been mixed with another pug. I don't know.
Wait, what would you say to these gals that would... that was so different from like the dude's sensibility?
Oh, I would just like fuck with the teacher. Like if we had a substitute teacher.
Yeah, I loved that.
I would like... we had these rugs that were... This is in fourth grade, same school. There were these rugs in the closet that were shaped like feet.
All right.
They were like maybe 3 or 4 feet long, but they looked like a big footprint.
All right.
So I would take them out of the closet and put them around the room. And then the teacher would come back and be like, "Who keeps putting these... Why are these rugs on the floor?" And she'd roll them up and put them away, and then she'd go back to her desk, and I would sneak out and put the fucking foot rugs back out. And I was just because I was making these girls, this whole table of girls, laugh hysterically. So I just kept doing it.
So you could recognize early on, you're like, "All right, I'm feeding some sort of like..."
Well, I was
beast,
like, "I like this.
Yeah,
this feels good. They're laughing, and that makes me feel good."
And the girls.
Yeah.
Well, the teachers never found it funny though.
Oh, well, they kicked me out. That one eventually was like, "Oh, I wonder who it is." And she finally, after the third time, she stuck around. She went back to the desk, but circled back, and I was like already stupidly putting a rug out. And she was like, "Mr. Bailey."
Yeah.
He yanked me right out of the class.
Were you a good student?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Not really. No. I maybe could have been if I had any interest in being a good student at all. But
so you kind of knew early on, you're like, all right, this is like...
I got to do something else.
I just wanted to be funny. I just wanted to entertain everybody.
And were you even aware...
I didn't give a shit about what they wanted me to learn.
You know? Yeah.
I'll learn all that shit anyway. I don't know.
Yeah. Were you aware that stand-up comedy was even a thing? Were you like...
Not at all, no.
No, you just liked being funny for people.
I just liked being funny because it worked for me. It got me out of trouble if I was going to... like get into a fight with somebody or something. It got me out, sometimes got me out of that. Mm-hmm. Got me attention from girls.
Yeah.
And it got it made things better at home. Like when everyone was screaming and fighting at the dinner table, if I could make everyone laugh, then we could all like breathe for a minute.
Dang.
Do you have a lot of siblings?
One sister. Yeah.
Okay. So when stuff's happening at the dinner table, you're the guy that comes in with the zinger and then go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now daddy's not yelling at mommy anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's a very comic thing to do, right? Like just to take control of the room.
Try to be the comic relief.
Yeah.
Try to steer it into a good way.
Now, when was your first exposure to stand-up comedy?
I was here in LA, actually.
No shit.
Yeah. I moved out here to get into film. I've always been a movie guy. I love movies.
Nice.
It's all I ever wanted to do, you know.
Favorites?
My dad brought home a video camera when I was like 13, and I just owned it. And just started making films, you know.
Oh, nice.
Oh, cool. Were you making like, were you trying to make comedies? Were you trying to just
Were funny. They were supposed to be funny. There's one where my friends and I, when I was like 16, my parents were away and we like used my dad's office. He had an office in the basement.
Mm-hmm. Great.
He was a computer programmer. And so we had all these computers all over the place.
You had a set.
We had a set.
Yeah.
So it was, that was the bridge of the Enterprise.
And we
did a Star Trek parody.
Oh my god!
And we had to like beam down to Earth to get beer. We ran out of beer. it was really fun. You know?
Why
like,
is
I
this?
Loved it.
This sounds like a Seth Rogen movie.
That's fucking hilarious.
My dad says he erased it, and that I would have been in much more trouble if it didn't make him laugh so much.
Ah, there you go.
But I don't believe. I think he still has it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I go. You erased that? I'm still. If he, you know, I don't believe he did, but.
I'm furious
with him if he did.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because that's a good message to you, and also a good message to comics that are just like, well, what could I get away with? Anything as long as you're funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you were in your dad's office, which I'm sure
my
you
friends
weren't allowed
and I,
to be.
15, we weren't even supposed to be in there. We were sitting there on his desk drinking beer. Like dressed like Star Trek cast, you know. We had turtlenecks with the little V on them, and like, it was pretty good, man. It was pretty fun.
Are those buddies? Because I always feel that everyone, it's like essential to have when you're growing up and just doing that type of stuff, having friends that are like, you know, whether they continue with it or not, but like make you laugh, or that you even see in your eyes that are like funnier than you at that time, just to like kind of build some sort of relationship with comedy, right? Are those guys still in it that you would fuck around with and make movies?
Those guys are all doing other stuff.
Yeah.
But they were like, I was the mastermind. Like, just telling them what to do, basically. And they were like, I guess this is more fun than just sitting drinking. You know?
Now we're sitting drinking, but we're wearing funny outfits.
A couple of them got into it and we had fun with it, but never wanted to pursue.
Someone's trying to do a Shatner impression.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was me. I was the cat. I was Kirk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then we had a guy who was very Spock-like. We just like scotch taped his eyebrows.
Taped
his ears to his head.
Yeah.
I think, if I remember right.
Congratulations, you get to be Spock. All right, now we have to tape your thing.
Like,
tape your eyes back.
Pull your eye.
God forbid the one that decided to be a Klingon.
Yeah. What were the movies that got you into the business that you said you were a big movie guy?
That I liked?
Yeah.
First like movies that I like? I don't. Oh, man. There's so many. Movies were always my escape. Mm-hmm. Like, my family would all go to bed. And then I would get up again and go downstairs and watch TV after everybody's in bed.
Yeah, me too.
And I would just watch movies all night long. So, like, I watched thousands of movies through.
How many do you think you did in, like, one sitting before, like, until the sun came up?
I would stay up until I thought someone else was going to get up.
Right.
And then I would, like, run upstairs and go to bed.
Oh, my God.
And then my mom would come in and be like, get up, it's time to go to school.
I said, but you already dressed. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
That's crazy.
Why do you have such a hard time getting out of bed every day?
Yeah.
Well, because I was
watching The Godfather again.
Until 5 in the morning, you know.
Wow.
I would just watch anything at that age. It was, I was fascinated by all of it, you know.
And then did you think, like, this is what I'm going to do? I'm going to make films?
Yeah. But I never thought about it that much. Like, I didn't have a plan.
Yeah.
Like, people were like, what do you want to do when you get older? And I would say, have fun.
Well, you know, mission accomplished. Like,
what do you want to be? Yeah. And I'd say, happy.
Okay.
And they'd be like, all right, this is a weird one.
He
this
wants
is
to
one
be happy.
Of the strange kids.
You're not supposed to be happy. You're supposed to get a job you hate. Yeah, go there for 8 hours a day. Be miserable. Come
settle
the fuck
with a
home.
Family.
Yeah,
exactly.
And hate that too. You're supposed to just be miserable, but
be
make
miserable
a living.
All the time. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like,
put food on the table.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah.
So then when you decide to come out to LA, do you like go to your family and just be like, I'm moving to Los Angeles, or do you just go?
No, I just left.
It just went.
I broke up with a girl.
Yeah.
For like the fifth time in a week. Same girl, you know. It was back and forth, back and
of
forth.
Of course. Sure.
And I said, fuck this. I'm getting out of here. And I literally threw some shit in a backpack and drove to Newark Airport.
No way.
At like 4 a.m, wrote a bad check to Continental Airlines. I used to joke that my check put them under because they went bankrupt. Like 2 weeks later, the whole airline went bankrupt.
No,
I was like,
shit.
That was my $440 that took them out.
That's gonna be an interesting cash cab question one time. Like, who was the man who bankrupted Continental Airlines? Surprise,
yeah,
me.
The driver.
That was back in the days when you could just write a bad check.
Yeah.
And they were just kind of fucked.
Yeah. That's great. That's insane that you could, like I don't.
Got
I'm
me the ticket. Got me on the plane.
You just walk up to a plane and be like, here's a piece of paper that says maybe I'll pay you back.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right.
And they're like, okay.
Hop on the plane.
I got on the plane. It was 5 a.m. I started to sober up while I was on the plane. I started to panic.
Yeah.
Like, what am I doing? I'm on a plane to Los Angeles. I don't even know where I'm going to go when I get off the plane on the other end.
Jeez.
I started to panic. I started to close my eyes and try to imagine it was all a dream and that I might wake up. That's how panicked I was.
Oh, wow.
That I might be able to close my eyes and wake up in my bed.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there praying for a chance to get off the plane.
Uh-huh.
Please, God, give me one. Just give me a chance to get off this plane and I'll figure out my life. You know?
Yeah.
While I'm in the middle of that, this Japanese guy, like 2-3 rows ahead of me, jumps up out of his seat. We're taxiing. We're getting ready to take off.
Yeah.
Jumps up. Pops his seatbelt off, jumps up out of his seat, and runs towards the front of the plane, screaming.
What?
In Japanese. Plane stops.
Yeah.
They find someone to interpret what the guy's saying. While they're figuring out what's going on with this guy, this plane has now stopped. A passenger jumped up and ran along, you know. So we're stopped, and all the emergency gear is sent out, all the trucks and everything.
Yeah.
And here's my chance, man. This I'm praying for a chance to get off the plane.
And you're just sitting there going, God, where is my sign?
Yeah, totally. Like the joke, I sent you a fucking boat. And but so, no, I'm just watching it all going, this actually, I might actually get what I was just asking for here.
Yeah.
And so the guy comes over, he says, nothing to worry about, but the gentleman who jumped up and ran toward the front of the plane has left his wallet in the men's room in the terminal. That has a lot of cash in it. So he's obviously panicking, freaking out.
Sure.
So we're going to let him off the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I swear to God, the pilot actually says, if there's anyone else who wants to get off this plane, now's your chance.
Oh, my God.
And
wink, wink, Ben Bailey.
Yeah. And I stayed on the plane.
By the way, the guy that wrote us a bad check in 17B.
Yeah, especially
maybe
you. Son of a bitch. I love it. Especially you that wrote the bad check, you asshole.
We already looked you
You're
up.
Not fooling anybody.
Wow, and then you stayed on the plane. So
I got the chance to leave, and something kept me there.
What just I mean, you must have had a flash of something that
I just saw. I don't know, man. I guess I remembered why I was on the plane to begin with.
Yeah.
And like I had this feeling like I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't doing anything real.
Needed a change of scenery.
I just needed I was looking for something.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck I wanted to do. I was 22 years old.
And then and then you land at LA. Where do you go?
Well,
what do you call?
First I had a layover in Denver.
Oh, okay.
So I land in Denver. And I'm still panicked and wondering what the fuck I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember that I got a buddy who lives out here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I have his number in a little box in my bedroom. Which is not at the airport in Denver.
Yeah.
So I have to call my house, my parents' house. I call and my dad picks up. It's It's like 6:30 in the morning. He would never be up at that hour.
Yeah.
He rolls over and goes, hello. I go, hey, Dad, I'm in Denver. And he goes, Denville? Which is a town like 20 minutes from where we live. He goes, what are you, drunk? You need a ride home?
Yeah.
And I go, no, Dad, Denver. And he goes, Colorado? And I go, yeah.
No, Spain. And Denver, goes, Spain.
Yeah, Denver, Spain, Dad. And he goes, I don't even want to know. Oh, what do you want? Mm-hmm. He's fed up with me by then, and rightly so.
How old are you at this point?
22.
22.
Okay.
And I said, I just need you to get a phone number for my buddy Patch. It's in this box. I tell him where it is. He comes back. He gives me the number. Mm-hmm. I call my friend. He goes, dude. He goes, I got to work for a few hours, so you're going to have to wait for me. But I haven't talked to this guy in like 8 years, or like since we were in high school together.
Wow.
So,
okay.
He goes, I'll pick you up, though, and then I'm going down to Laguna Beach. My friends have this amazing house down there, and they're having a big party tomorrow night. So like, where my parents would have hoped everything just fell apart for me,
right.
I just like stumbled into this awesome house with a view of the Atlantic and like a keg party and all these dudes like my own age and a bunch of guys that are still my friends now. But
amazing.
Through that trip, I ended up then like getting my own place up here in LA. Mm-hmm. And stumbling into a job answering the phones at the store.
Oh, no shit.
Oh, yeah. I did comedy stores.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
In the upstairs.
The upstairs, the green room with the palm trees on the wall and shit.
Yeah.
And then, not like, were you looking to work at the store to get into comedy, or do you just need a job?
I just needed a job. I came out of the Riot Hyatt next door that used to be the Riot Hyatt. And
real quick, when you laid over in Denver, were there any other signs? Like, did an Italian guy get dragged off? And he's like, I left my wallet in there. There's so much cash and spaghetti in there. You know,
now it's your chance. Go home now.
He says that before he runs off the plane.
Yeah.
I had no inklings of getting into comedy.
Yeah.
I just needed a fucking job, and I needed it bad.
And you're just answering the phones at the comedy store.
Because I had been out here for over a month already, and what I had saved up was gone, and I was broke. And I came out of the hotel, and there were some guys standing in front of the... I came out of an interview at the hotel.
Oh, nice.
I didn't get the job. I had this amazing experience at like the nicest hotel in New Jersey, the Hilton at Short Hills. No one in LA gave a shit about that. It didn't mean anything. They're just like, okay, whatever.
It's like, yeah, we got the fourth lead from Law & Order, who also needs money.
He needs a job.
He's going to be our bellman. So
I ended up just shooting the shit with some guys in front of the store. And this guy was like, you have a decent voice. Do you want to... We need a guy to answer the phones. You want to answer the phones here? And I said, yeah. Sure, man. What is this place?
No clue.
Weirdest looking like building I've ever seen.
Comedy store? What, do you completely buy black comedy here? What do you do?
Yeah, with white names all over it. I was just like, what is this place?
Yeah.
And then, so then I got the job there. I worked there four nights a week.
Did you meet Mitzi?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she fired me like 80 times. She used to come in. There was a time, I feel badly joking about it. There was a time when she would walk around and she would just kind of fire everyone.
Yeah, sure.
You're fired. You don't work here anymore. Don't come back tomorrow.
My God.
Yeah.
And then Paulie and this guy Mike Becker that was the manager back then would follow her around and say, "Don't come back. Don't, please, we need you to stay. We're going to need you tomorrow. She's firing everyone. Don't leave." You know.
So obviously you're working there and just being around it. Then you probably started to go to shows and.
I went to a show. They would give you drink tickets.
Yeah.
To pad the crowd, you know, pad the audience, and it was necessary back then.
What year is
going?
This
is 93.
93. Okay, so the boom has just 92, passed.
92, yeah. The boom is over, and the clubs are kind of like, what are we going to do now?
Got it.
So they're struggling to get people in. So everybody that works there gets a couple of drink tickets. So I would like save mine up.
Yeah.
And then have a big night, you know, because I had no money. So.
Yeah. Right.
But so to get them, you'd have to get your drink ticket and then go and sit and watch the show for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Who are you watching?
The first guy I saw was Jeff Altman.
Wow.
Okay.
With his pants pulled up.
Yeah.
He was doing that as like a gym teacher or something. But it was pretty fucking funny. But I was like, after a while, I was like, maybe I could do that.
No kidding.
You know, you start to have like flashbacks of making people laugh. And just...
I never put it together. I just was like, man, I think maybe I could do that.
Yeah.
You know? And then so the the story I've shared with you guys so far about coming out here is only like part of it. There's all this huge kind of crazy shit that's attached to it on both ends. Like,
oh, for real?
The girlfriend had, I found out that she had another boyfriend, and like,
whoa,
he lived out here, and the house that my other friend took me to was his fucking house.
Shut the fuck
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah. It's like this crazy story. And wow. So I ended up telling that story after a couple of drinks in the green room at the store, and they thought I was a comedian. They were like, how long have you been doing comedy? And I was like...
For the last 2.5 minutes.
I said, I just started. And then this guy, Skip E. Lowe, do you guys know about... Have you
this
heard,
is really
you,
familiar.
Heard of him? He used to have a cable access talk show here in L.A. that he hosted on a bus bench because he had paid to have an ad for the show as the back of the bus bench. So then he would shoot the show in front of the ad. The Skip E. Lowe show.
Oh my god.
And he was like, you're funny, I think you should come and do my show. And I'd be like, okay, you know. So yeah. I did his show like 2-3 Saturdays in a row, and it became more than clear that Skippy was not interested in my humor. I'd be like, why don't you come over and watch a football game with me?
Okay.
Like, I don't think so, Skippy. Thank you. Know.
Why don't you rub this oil all up and down your body?
Come over and take everything off.
I'm doing it. It's not weird.
Yeah.
He would always name these other guys like, oh, this guy comes over and that, and they were always like sons of famous actors. And
wow.
You know, he comes over all the time. You know, I'm like, I'm not him.
I'm Darren Norris, Chuck Norris's kid. He's been here all the time.
We watch movies together, naked. We hold hands.
Yeah.
But Skippy Lowe is this hilarious character because as it turns out, I didn't know this, but I was lucky enough to get to know Jay Thomas a little bit before he
legend.
Before he died, and because I did his radio show, and then he did my podcast,
That's
whatever.
Awesome.
Skippy Lowe is the guy who put him on stage for the first time also.
No kidding.
And he told me that Skippy Lowe was the inspiration for Jiminy Glick.
Oh.
Wow.
And I was like, holy shit, how did I never see it? He's like exactly like a man. By the way, that's some of the funniest shit anyone has ever done.
Oh, Marshall, short of Jiminy
hands
Glick.
Down.
I was so shocked that it didn't turn into a mass hysteria of appreciate. Like, it feels like a cult thing, and I'm so like, how does not everybody get on board with that?
Yeah.
And as far as an interview show goes, like, something you want, like something that's different and still like giving you all the conversation. Yeah.
So funny. The most awkward questions. Like, he just hits them straight faced, you know.
Wow, no real segues.
Skippy Lowe. Well, now everyone go Google Skippy Lowe.
Skippy Lowe, yeah.
Yeah, and then you're going to figure
Skippy
that out.
Skippy Lowe show.
And then like, are you going up during this time? Are you like doing time on stage? Are you doing the open mics? Like,
they were giving me time in the belly room.
Mm-hmm.
And Mitzi was still auditioning people.
Okay.
So if you signed up and I can't remember the guy's name who was like the talent guy then.
Mm-hmm.
If you kind of got his okay, then you could audition for her.
Okay.
And about 3 months after I first went on stage, or maybe it's a little bit more. I can't remember now, but it wasn't very long. I was broke. I was like, I figured out what I want to do. I want to be a comedian, and I'm out of money, so I think I'm going to go home and pursue it in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody here was at that time was saying, if you want to pursue stand-up, that's where you should be at this time, is in New York anyway. So I was like, well, I'm fucking broke, so I'm going home.
Mm-hmm.
But I got an audition for Mitzi. For like the day before I was moving home.
It's always like that, right?
And she passed me.
Jeez.
I successfully auditioned for Mitzi in the OR.
That's
the first time I ever was on the stage there, from doing the belly room like maybe 8 times or something. Somehow she passed me, but I didn't really understand how important that was and what that meant, that I like had a club I could work out at.
Yeah.
So I went home anyway. Not really getting it. If I knew what I knew later,
that's incorrect.
I might have stayed here. You know,
yeah.
I've been like, holy shit, I can work out at the store. I should stay here. But
wow, and then you go back to New York and you start like, do you go to the clubs and you go like, hey, I'm past the store, can I get time here?
No, it didn't even occur to me that that might.
Where were you, Brad?
Yeah,
you could have helped me a lot. Where were you when I needed you? But no, I found a place. It was the old Boston Comedy
Club yeah.
in New York.
Oh, that's right. Barry Katz's Club.
Yeah, man.
So you worked for me. I remember that. You were hilarious.
Lineups were stacked.
Ben Bailey is on my Mount Rushmore of cab quiz show hosts. Him and Danny DeVito.
I don't know why.
That was great, dude.
What was...
Barry Katz.
So that became your home club, yeah?
No. Well, I mean, kind of. But at that time, the Cellar, of course, was already around the corner.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could audition for the Cellar.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Royce was a guy who ran the late night at that time at the Comedy Cellar. Somebody told me about it, so after maybe a month of doing shows at the Boston, I ventured over to the Cellar and told Mike I wanted to audition for him, and he set up a time. I did like a 7-minute set, and then I got in at the Comedy Cellar.
You realize that that's not everyone's story, right?
Yes,
like,
I do.
Not everyone gets to audition and get into the Cellar the first time, or audition for Mitzi and get in the store the first time. Like, that's pretty insane. And from what it sounds like, you hadn't been doing comedy like 4 years, and then you did. Like, it was pretty
months.
Quick.
Yeah, it was very quick. Yeah.
Wow. Where did you draw your comedic inspiration? Like, what was your voice? What were you talking about?
I was just writing about any, same as I still do, writing about anything that strikes me as funny.
Yeah.
And let it just be random, you know?
Yeah.
And I never talk about myself or my life or like my feelings or I never talk about any of that stuff. And that's what like managers and agents are always like, yeah, you need to talk more about you know. Like, I like to write about birds. And, you know, I just write about weird stuff. And I was hacky in the beginning of, you know, of course. But
I think everybody.
Everybody.
Is.
I think so. It feels like you're coming up with something brilliant and original.
But yeah, and then
you're like, fuck, 10,000 people already did this.
Yeah.
Oh, there's another Jiminy Glick.
Damn it. That's and then how long are you doing the clubs and stuff around New York before you get the cash cab audition?
12 years, something like that.
Wow.
It took me 10. I got in the door right away, but it took me 10 years to get to where I was one of the weekend regulars that was working Friday and Saturday at all the clubs.
I want people to realize that you passed all the clubs and everyone's like, all right, here you go. Here's your career. Here's your break.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it takes 12 more.
Yeah, totally, man.
Yeah.
It's like, so I'm in, but that doesn't mean anybody gives a shit.
I was doing a show in New Brunswick, New Jersey this past weekend, and a guy came
Stress Factory?
Me, yep. And a guy came up to me after the show and was just like, hey, I've been doing comedy like 2 months, man, and like, how do you get on like how do you get on Fallon and Colbert and stuff? I'm like, 2 months? I'm like, well, when you find out, fucking tell me, because
let me know, dude.
Yeah,
I don't know. They're not knocking my door now.
No,
and that guy, was Ted Danson.
It was.
Now since then, he has quit stand up, but
it was Jeremy Piven. Yeah. How do you get on?
Is it Stress Factory?
Doing this 2 months.
Yeah, was that your home club?
No, the Cellar. When Cellar was my home.
But I mean, Stress Factory, as far as like when you go, do you feel it's got just, you know,
like back in New Jersey?
Yeah, like hometown ties.
I mean, I always have a good time there.
Yeah.
I just did his new one in Bridgeport.
Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Yeah.
A lot of... There, you think you see some big homes out here in Beverly Hills?
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit. They're estates.
Yeah.
They're like when they have the driveway that goes up to the home that's on top
this
of the hill.
This driveway is made of Reese's Pieces.
Yeah. It's fucking like nuts.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking Reese's Pieces driveway.
Yeah.
This guy's got everything.
And then I'm doing shows.
Your driveway's made of candy. Did you know that? Sorry.
By the way, that is the new Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, but it's hosted by a super New York
guy. Tony Danza.
Yeah.
Look, every home, it comes with a garage, but what a garage needs is graham cracker crust.
R.I.P. Robin Leach.
Yeah.
He just died.
Oh, did he really?
Robin Leach died.
Jesus, man. We're trying to keep this podcast light.
Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Wait, let's hear your Robin Leach.
Yeah, go for it.
I just know it's an impression of someone's impression of him.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It was on SNL, right? I'm like, I'm Robin Leach.
Oh, yeah.
I'm yelling and I don't know why. I can't remember who did it.
I need to tell you how expensive this rug and doorbell combo is.
What a huge fucking house.
J-Lo lives in her house but sleeps in a hot air balloon and walks on a water slide
while her ass remains in the house. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
How dare you?
Fucking great.
What were you auditioning for in New York when you're doing once you start to get comfortable on stage, obviously you're probably getting recognized for more opportunities are coming your way now, right?
I got offered a gig to chance to headline a show at some comedy night in Brooklyn, and I was like, this guy doesn't know I have like 11 minutes of but I had to take it because it paid like $400, which was a lot of money to me then. So I hacked it up a little bit. I just had to improv and
always say yes.
I told some jokes, just to
guy
get
walks
through.
Bar.
More or less.
Yeah. and we've all done some version of that at some point in your career where someone says, "Hey, they want to give you this part, but can you ice skate?" You're like, "Yeah."
Oh yeah, man.
I guess I gotta learn how to ice skate now. Me? Yeah.
Normally I would have my skates on right now.
I'm surprised. You caught me at a rare moment when I'm not ice skating.
I couldn't find a place to park.
Yeah. Tony Harding's my cousin.
I'm wearing my sneakers today. It's so weird. The one day someone asked me about ice skating.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Like it's like when you're bullshitting a girl.
Yeah.
She's like, "Are you into scuba?"
Like, "Yeah, I'm certified."
I just got my goggle mask.
Yeah. Scuba. Scuba. Like,
you say it twice.
Self-contained underwater breathing apparatus.
By the way, scuba means you have no clue about it. If that's how you respond,
what do you mean, scuba. She's like,
like underwater scuba, or like scuba the Subway sandwich.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's fucking nuts.
Wait, so then Cash Cab comes along at what point? And you hear about it, and then you try to.
I had an audition for it, but I was out here actually again. I was doing a show in Ramona, California, off in the mountains.
That's the hotbit of entertainment.
It is.
I've been saying it for years.
That's what people dream about. Hollywood and then Ramona. They have a sign on the hill just like says Ramona Land.
Says we were here first.
But so it was actually a pretty fun gig at this theater. Mm-hmm. And then a buddy of mine was playing, he was a drummer in this band called The Samples.
Okay.
They were playing at a bigger venue like 4 miles away, so anybody that I knew that we grew up with back east that lived out here came to my show, and then we all went to his show.
Okay,
and
cool.
Surprised him. But so mm-hmm. then I had a red-eye flight back after that because I had an audition for this ridiculous idea, a game show in a taxi. I had to be back in New York the next morning.
Which I'm sure you read. And now when you read it, do you go, "Fuck yeah, that's me," or do you go, "All right"?
I was like, "This is stupid, man. This is this is a stupid idea. I thought it was a bad idea. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a ridiculous idea." Sure. I think it seemed like a ridiculous idea to most people at that time.
Yeah.
I know that other people came into the audition and looked at it and said, "Fuck this," and left.
Wow.
Other comics that I know, yeah.
Wow.
At least two, yeah. But I almost didn't come back because my buddy was like, the band got a house on the beach and we have it for a week.
You're like, well,
and we got a room, you could just come and hang, you know. But I wasn't partying or drinking at the time. Mm-hmm. And that's why I said no.
Said,
"Thanks, dude, but I'm not going to come party with you guys. I'm
trying to focus up."
I'm trying to focus on work and everything. And so I got on the red eye and I flew back and I went straight to the audition for Cash Cab.
Wow.
And that's insane. What was it like?
It was just like, you ever, I don't know what sports you guys are into. Like
all of them. But I mean, baseball, basketball, football.
Yeah. You know when you have a day where everything just works?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're like, how is this happening?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what my first Cash Cab audition was like. Even things that went wrong turned into things that went well. Like, it just
fit.
It just fucking...
You were just locked in.
It just worked, dude. Yeah. I don't even know what I did, but the casting director and the mm-hmm. people from the production company were fucking dying laughing.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, it just kind of worked, you know? Like,
that's amazing.
Just fit in.
You walked out feeling it?
I walked out thinking, calm down, you idiot.
Yeah.
You know what? You know how these things go.
Yes. Right.
You've been doing this long enough.
You know they're going to give it to Scott Bakula.
Or Scott Baio or some Scotty.
One of the Scots.
Scott Bakula. He's actually written in the Cash Cab.
That's the only reason why I had that reference in my head, because I had been watching episodes, dude, and I just thought, what's a random celebrity? Yeah.
Scott Bakula. Yeah. He's such a great guy.
He seemed really cool on the show.
He's so nice. Yeah. Dude, the cab, for some reason, they got a cab that's fucking 10 years old to do as our new cab. It's a 2008. I'm like, why? What?
We're getting passed by Ubers.
Thing. This is like last July in New York. Yeah. It's 105 degrees outside.
Yeah.
And I've got some contestants and Scott Bakula in the back of the cash cab.
Merry fuck kill.
Yeah. And it fuck.
Well, I fuck the contestant. Yeah. I'm gonna just, hey, look, I love blind dates.
Merry Scott Bakula.
Merry Scott Bakula.
Ding, 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 ding. Kill the cab.
Yeah. The cab killed itself. The fucking cab died. First, it overheated and blasted like 110 degree heat into the cab on the hottest day of the year.
Holy shit.
And then it just went. So then we're just sitting there sweating.
And you're nervous.
You're such a good sport, you know. I'm sorry, man. He's like, hey, it's all right. It's okay. It was cool.
That's awesome.
I'm sure you're talking to the cab like, not in front of Scott Bakula.
Yeah, come on, cab. We talked about this.
Leave the room, cab.
I'm trying to be friends with Scott Bakula.
Don't you know who this is? It's Quantum Leap. Yeah, dude. That's what we did. We had to do it. I leaped into and out of the cab for that one.
That's amazing. That's
I made
awesome.
Them do that. I was like, you guys have to do that.
Right, because when else are you going to get a chance to
yeah,
do that?
Yeah, totally.
That's amazing.
Like, I have to leap out.
And so you walk out and you're like, all right, that went well, but who knows?
But
and
who knows? So, like, forget it.
Yeah.
As soon as an audition's done, that's the best thing you can do is just completely forget
right.
about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Right? Because otherwise you could make yourself nuts. Mm-hmm. Six callbacks later.
Shut up.
Whoa.
Six callbacks, a major background check,
yeah.
A drug test. A course at the taxi school.
Yeah, I was going to say some sort of driving test.
And a written test.
Yeah.
A driving test. All that later. It took about 6 weeks to get through all that.
Jeez.
I got the job. And,
is there any,
and started hosting the show. Yeah.
Is there any point during the six callbacks, the driver's test, the background check, where you just want to go, fuck it. No, it's not worth all this.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Totally. But more than once. Like, okay, this is crazy. How many, you know, I'm going to go back and
they
do
should
the
know by now, right?
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But they were, you know, I guess they were being careful and wanted to get it right. And they were worried that guys would get caught up in the background check stuff and have issues that kept them from being able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they had it, I think they had it down to like a handful of guys that they thought could actually do the job of driving a cab yeah. and hosting a show.
They were like, Ben, have you tackled anyone on the first day of school? Have we just need to know.
Have you placed Bigfoot things on the classroom
it's
floor?
Neither here nor there. We just want to know.
We just have some questions.
I wish those were the things that I was worried about them uncovering. Those were so not yeah. the things on my mind. There were a few things.
Yeah, yeah
sure.
Is know? The prep different for every callback? Because I did the show that had about five coming backs, and same thing right, where right. it was just like taking me out of it. Where I was like, man, I don't. But you still got to psych yourself up and get to a place to where you're like, I got to deliver again because.
Yeah, totally.
So I mean,
yeah, and that's a big part of. I realized later. Mm-hmm. That's why they do that to you, because when you're yeah. shooting the show, you're going to have to be able to do it right.
Right.
Every when you've time. Done it a bunch of times and you're tired of shit and you're like, why the fuck are we still doing this?
Yeah.
You still have to be able to do it exactly how it's meant to be
right.
done, right?
So yeah, because when someone's,
kinda,
yeah, when someone's watching an episode, they don't know that you filmed nine other Cash Cab episodes yeah, that day. Totally. It has to be new and fresh and exciting.
Yeah, and yeah. they need to know that you can that you'll be able to do it under those circumstances. So,
how many do you do a day?
We used to do, in the beginning, we did a lot. Mm-hmm. But eventually, we kind of got it down to a schedule that was kind of manageable. We would yeah. do six games in a day.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
Six games in a day, 4 days a week. Okay. Instead of the original 12 games a day,
oh, geez.
6 days a week.
Jeez.
That was brutal. But that's where the show came from.
Yeah.
That was the factory that produced the outcome is like the show that runs smoothly. Like
yeah.
it took us a while to find it, you know.
Do you remember the moment where you felt like, oh, this show is becoming a part of the zeitgeist and yeah. pop culture? And
this
it's
thing.
Now
I remember I thought you were gonna say, do I remember when we had a moment that we thought maybe it had a chance to be a good show?
I'm sure.
And I definitely remember that. When I realized, it was when people started recognizing me.
Right.
Yeah.
On the street is when I was like, oh, shit, this might.
So there was
this
a.
This could catch on and be something.
And to yeah. piggyback on what you just said, so there probably was a moment like where you did a certain game or something happened where the yeah. way it clicked for you in the audition, you go, oh, that was a lot of fun. Everything that this should mm-hmm. be just happened. And if we can
Absolutely.
Do that more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we literally drove around for 3 weeks doing games and rides and they were
perfect.
They were good, but they, you know, I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was it that was like missing?
It just didn't gel.
Yeah.
I don't think anything particular was missing, but like the rhythm of it.
Yeah.
It fell into place once we had these two women. I drove them across town, dropped them on like Houston Street on the Lower East Side, and it was a cliffhanger of a game.
Mm-hmm.
Like no one thought they were going to have a chance of winning because they seemed kind of ditzy, you know, when they got in, and we were like, oh, this is going to be another waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
But they held on by a thread, and they made it all the way across town, and then they got this question that they had no idea what the answer was. They just guessed it at the last second, and they got it, and everybody went fucking crazy. And then they went for the bonus, and they doubled it, and they won that. And then I just remember we're all kind of standing around outside after that, looking at each other like, holy shit, man, what was that?
That's cool.
That could be, this show could fucking be something. You know?
Right.
And that felt really good.
That's awesome.
I mean, now I feel like the cash cab is just in the lexicon, but I mean, when you guys start off and you're picking people up and the lights go off, like, they don't know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, oh, they didn't believe me at first.
Yeah.
That like, it was a TV show.
Yeah, how is it?
They just thought I was some crazy dude.
You're on my game show.
Yeah. Like,
okay,
you're
man.
You're on a TV show. They're like, get the fuck out of here. Like, no, really, you are. They're like, yeah, okay, buddy. And they would just get out.
Yeah.
They're like, this guy's nuts. I don't know what he's doing, but I don't want any part of it.
Yeah, how is it all? So the cameras are
That's another reason it was harder in the beginning.
Yeah.
Cameras are pretty hidden, yeah?
Pretty hidden, yeah.
Yeah, because you don't want people seeing the cab from the outside and being able to tell that's the cash cab.
Yeah, it's got to look, you know, it's got to look like a real cab.
That's completely random.
Also way awesome when it did get to a point where people would get in and as soon as the light would go off, they were just like, fuck yeah. Like,
Bailey.
Yeah.
That was awesome for me, for my ego, but it made made it harder to get that surprise.
You know, right, that's
what we want, is that reveal where they're like, holy shit, it's a cash cab. So
then are the questions being, do you have a bunch with you? Is it being like fed to you? Like,
I memorize them before each game.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
but
my
God. They read them back to me, but I have to know them ahead of time because they're like a paragraph.
Yeah, I was going to say.
They're long.
So I have to study them.
It's
fucking hard
good
job.
On you.
And,
yeah, man. Yeah.
And it's a quiz show, and I know from doing game shows on the radio, like, you have to say it exactly correct. You have to say that question exactly correct.
Yep.
Every time you say it, there are certain things that you're not allowed to repeat because then it affects the outcome or something. Like,
right. Well, they can start, you know. Would you mind repeating that?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how many repeats do they get?
Yeah.
How much more time are they getting? Like, all that stuff is regulated.
Yes.
And it's like federal law because of the
quiz show scandal. Thing. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Yeah, there's a quiz show in the 60s?
In the 60s.
Yeah.
Is this what the movie is based on?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. where it was rigged. So now there's these strict laws.
Case went to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
So game show rules are federal law.
Yeah,
damn. Which is just because weird? Of John Turturro.
That's son of a bitch.
Yeah, that's crazy that you memorize those questions because, like I said, you have to get those exactly right. Like, do you ever just blank and go like, producers?
Well, they are reading them to me, but
okay.
What usually happens is the first day back,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, how did I ever do this? I can't do this.
Yeah,
right. But then by the sort of the end of the day, I go, oh yeah, okay, I remember. I like kind of get my brain in that. Working in that capacity again.
You do make it look seamless.
And then they start it. They start the question in my ear, and then I end up finishing it. It's usually how it goes.
Got it.
You know, so.
And have you ever had a
weird little thing between myself and the director where he's got to time it right that he, you know, that he's feeding it to me, but not too quickly. And and I can then start, and he can. It's like every time he's like pushing. I'm a little kid who's riding a bike for the first time, and he has to just let go. And
wow,
because you have to read it in a conversational cadence that sounds so that they can follow, so that it's not so broken up.
Yeah,
that they're
so
like,
that's like a thing that we have to practice, like handing the baton in a.
I bet.
You know, it's like whoever the director is, there's been a handful of them. We have to work on that a lot to get it just right.
And now, is there scouting or casting for people you're picking up? I mean, are you driving around and just seeing?
I am as removed from that part of things as I can be. I don't know exactly how that part works. I know that the people that I pick up don't know that they're about to be on the show and that we have a pretty elaborate setup to have a little bit of room to choose who we put in and who we don't.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm not supposed to...
For sure.
To tell anybody the total secret. I mean, people know kind of the
sure,
gist
but,
of it.
Yeah,
it's
but
out there already.
Yeah, at the same time. Yeah, and it's more fun just if it's just, like you say, completely random and people are surprised.
Yeah, and some of them are.
Mm-hmm.
We do a certain amount of time every season where we go out.
Yeah.
And we just randomly pick people up and see how that goes.
Have you had a contestant that has completely just blown your mind and been there's got to be a couple that stick out, that either the amount of cash they won or the difficulty or the friends or the there's groups obviously sometimes, right? Like,
yeah, groups tend to have the best luck.
Yeah,
sure.
Because, you know, especially if they're different ages.
Yeah, then like a
family,
okay,
usually does well.
Yeah,
right.
Parents will know history and
kids
politics,
know the young stuff.
Kids know pop, yeah, culture and right, music and all that stuff.
So. Yeah. Have you ever had a situation where someone won a certain amount of money and you know that amount of money like changed their life? Like, were they like, oh,
yeah,
shit.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty, yeah, of those, yeah.
Where it's,
yeah,
like, I wasn't going to make rent, and now,
yeah,
I am.
Yeah, there's been
a
bunch of those.
That's awesome.
These guys are like, you know, we got to go for it. We got to go for it. If we double it, we're going to be able to stay in our apartment.
Oh, my God.
If and we then, don't, we're,
yeah, you know,
and we're going to be able to go out and get drunk, but and then we're not going to have anywhere to live.
Yeah. And then I'm sure in that scenario, you as a human being just goes, fuck, get it right.
But, yeah, dude, but I just want to give them the money. Like,
of course,
yeah, they lost. Here, let me pay your rent. You know, if they really pulling, yeah, at your,
here, let me write you a check. Aren't you the continental, yeah, guy?
Wait a minute. Right, yeah. You bankrupted an airline, you son of a bitch. Don't you think you've done enough? Yeah. Stop trying to help.
Where do you have your Emmy?
I have more than one.
You have four Emmys?
I have six Emmys.
Six Emmys.
Oh,
I have six
Emmys.
Six-time Emmy Award winner,
we've
Ben
never
Bailey.
Had one.
I feel like such a dick saying that.
Fuck,
you know,
no.
I'm proud of it. I have a studio, yeah, in my basement. That's where they are.
Okay.
How I didn't know where to put them. It's like,
well, it's like, you know, it's like, because you don't want to be the dick where, like, as people walk into your, yeah, place, they're like, and these are my Emmys.
Yeah, here they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like a guy delivering a package, like, what's that?
Ben Bailey, when you go to his home, beats you to with his Emmys.
So I put them in the studio. They were like in boxes in the basement. Mm-hmm. Until I finished building my studio, and then, yeah, I put them in there.
That's awesome.
Because I have a band. I built a studio to record music.
Mm-hmm.
So other guys, other musicians come over. They're like, dude, are those Grammys?
You're like, no, Globe.
No, Grammys, I lie. I'm like, yeah. Yep.
This is who you're working with.
Nervous.
David Steinberg was involved in the reboot, yeah?
He was, yeah.
He is a pal and been on the podcast.
Oh, no
his
shit.
Place. Yeah.
What a great dude, right?
The greatest.
Yeah. He's
and just
so funny.
Stories, so funny. Stories for days.
Yeah.
Did he call you personally to tell you that it was coming back? How did that happen?
I didn't know him at, yeah, that time, and I'm not completely sure about, yeah, how it all went down.
Yeah.
But he loved the show.
Yeah.
And he's buddies with a guy who's head of Discovery.
That helps.
Not just Discovery, yeah, Channel, but Discovery Communications International. Like,
jeez,
that's it's like
the dude.
It's like 32 networks or something at this,
yeah,
point. It's,
Jesus,
ridiculous,
yeah,
which is awesome. You know, it's,
yeah,
great to be a part of that thing. But his name is David also, and those two Davids are buddies. And I think that's how it came back. Because
that's awesome.
They, wow, both loved Cash Cab.
Yeah.
And then so at some point, they, you know, one David said to the other, hey, let's just do it again. And it's really funny for me because my father would always say to me, tell me that his favorite comedian,
mm-hmm,
was David Steinberg.
No shit.
Yeah, and I'd be like, wow, first of all, thanks. I'm your son.
Yeah.
No, yeah. No, but so,
I'm right here, Dad.
Yeah, yeah, I can hear you. Hello.
My dad's favorite comic is Mitch Hedberg, and he tells me that all the time.
Oh, man.
And Dana Gould's father, his favorite comedian is me.
Oh,
that's
no shit.
Fucking weird.
That is justice.
Because it's like your kid is David. Your kid is Dana Gould.
Whose dad am I his favorite comedian? That's the game. I've been looking at this the wrong way.
David Spade.
David Spade. Perfect. Sorry, David Spade.
It's nuts. And like, I'm so glad that when they brought it back, they brought it back with you. They didn't like go out and get like a YouTube star or like an Instagram,
yeah,
whatever.
Weird.
You know, it's like because you really ingrained yourself as part of that show. I truly believe that
you,
show,
man,
isn't successful with another host. It's everything that you do as a host that adds to the whole quality of the show.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
And people felt that way when they first posted that they were going to bring the show back.
Yeah.
They didn't specify All they did was not specify whether I was going to be hosting or not.
Okay. And you're like, great, thanks, guys.
Well, I was like, oh, an announcement. Oh, geez. Yeah. I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt here.
Yeah.
They didn't say anything, and I haven't heard anything. And internet shitstorm.
I was just going to say.
People went nuts.
Good.
It's like you better fucking bring Ben.
It better not
back.
Be Ben Savage.
People, people really went to bat for me.
Good.
And it was really moving and... it was awesome.
That's
then I got, then they called and they're like, of course we want you to do it. We were never even considering it. Which maybe they weren't. I don't know.
But. It is pretty amazing how effortless you make. I mean, to be, first of all, I think, you have to be so likable to do a show like that. And then quick and articulate and like your banter with people is like, I really enjoy doing crowd work, and I love when I see, when I watch like late night hosts, anyone that has to do that, and it's like such a specific skill set. And to be able to do that with everything else going on and be thinking of the game and all the other factors at hand, it's like, it's a truly remarkable gift that you have.
Yeah.
Thank you,
man. Yeah, man.
Thanks so much. It's a difficult job. It's the hardest, it's the most tiring job I ever had. Way more exhausting to me than, like, I did, construction. I worked roofing.
Oh, for real?
I did all kinds of, I've had like 85 jobs in my life.
Oh, that's the
some of them
show.
Were manual labor, like real, physical stuff. Nothing ever wore me out like shooting cash cap.
Wow.
I'm just done. At the end of a season or a week of it, I have nothing.
I'm going to Vegas.
I'm usually the guy who can like pull it together and go, fuck it, let's go out and have a couple of beers.
Yeah.
At the end of those days, I just go.
Got no energy.
I just go and lay down. Yeah. like the dead dog that I am.
I do want to know real quick, because it's where I met you in Vegas. What was the Vegas cash cab? How does that differ from?
We just did, we only did a week of the of the Vegas ones, and it's because we were nominated. The show was nominated for Emmys, so we went to and they were in Vegas that year. So we went, and they said, well, you guys are all coming. Why don't you bring the cab? We want to use the cab in the open, for the daytime Emmy Awards.
Nice.
And we were like, okay, so we shipped.
Oh, that's right. You had daytime Emmy people you were doing, right?
We shipped the cab to Vegas. No one drove it. We FedExed the fucking cab. No shit. We FedExed the cab to Vegas. What were you saying?
Well, weren't there daytime stars? You did some.
Yeah, we did. So at the
and Vegas performers and right.
Yeah. So that for the games.
Yeah.
In the cab, it was all like the acts from the casino, the big acts. So it was all like charity stuff, and it was all prearranged.
Wayne Newton, Carrot Top.
We had Carrot Top and Louis Anderson together. They did like a Planes, Trains, and Automobiles thing where they both try to get into the same cab.
Wow.
now do your Louis Anderson.
Yeah, that's just me.
Is that your Scott Thompson?
Here's my Scott Bakula. I'm having impression.
Wait, so they worked as a team?
Yeah, those guys were in the cab together.
That's amazing.
And they were both super nice.
Yeah,
That's
everybody
great.
Was.
Yeah,
and we had like Paul Rodriguez. We had people that had a show going on at the time. Like we did Showgirls. We had some people from Cirque du Soleil.
Dope.
But I think the funniest thing of all of it was what they wrote for the open of the daytime Emmys. Here's the sketch. It's me driving the cash cab.
Okay.
Eric Estrada in full Chips gear pulls me over.
Yes, please.
All right.
And he comes up, and I put the window down, and I go, "What'd you pull me over for?" And he goes, "I want an autograph." And I go, "Oh, you want an autograph?" And he goes, "Not from you, from them." And then we reveal that Cheech and Chong are sitting in the back of the cash cab because they were nominated for something.
Yeah. Love that.
And then I go, "What about me?" And he goes, "You, I'm giving you a ticket." And I go, "A ticket for what?" And he goes, "For the 34th annual Daytime Emmy Awards."
That's unbelievable.
That's the open of the show.
That's unbelievable.
It was so hilarious.
That's perfect. Unbelievable.
He kept forgetting. He kept fucking up his line. He kept. I'd be like, "A ticket for what?" And he'd be like, "For the God damn it, cocksucker motherfucker!" And he's walking back to the motor
show.
Like,
the thing that we're doing this for.
Dude, it was so funny. One time I go, "A ticket for what?" And he just goes. He couldn't say anything.
Just slowly turns into the camera.
It's amazing. He hasn't worked more.
It was so fun, man. It was so funny, and he was a great dude.
How does being a game show host on such a popular game show affect your stand up? Like, is it sort of like the Bob Saget effect, where people are expecting one person, and then like Because like
it is a little. Yeah. It's to a lesser degree.
Yeah.
Because my act isn't. As dirty as as Bob's act whatever. Right. But it's definitely a different thing. It forced me to change my stand up.
Really.
I used to come out and say, so the rule is, if you screw up just one too many job interviews, you become a stand-up comedian. And I would do my whole act like that, in that voice.
Oh, dude.
Deliver the whole thing that way.
Good night and good luck.
And then, yeah, kind of very much like that. Yeah. And then, so all my bits kind of were tailored to that. But then Cash Cab fans would come out, and they'd be like, why is he, what is he doing?
We want,
right.
The guy why is he talking like that?
Yeah, yeah.
And it wouldn't, it would make things weird, so I just had to, like, on the fly, just kind of change it up.
Wow.
And it's really funny. Now it's kind of creeping back in a little bit.
Well, because now you can kind of parody yourself.
Yeah. And yeah. If I don't do it all like full time,
right?
But I sort of slip into it a little, then then they're like, oh, and it's kind of cool. It's like putting on an old set, you know, suit of armor or something. Like, oh, okay, I remember this.
Yeah.
Shit is funnier if I say it like this.
That's awesome.
I don't have to write as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, I'm so glad it's back. And
thank you, man.
People can go on Discovery Now, the app, right?
Yeah.
And then,
is it Now or is it Discovery Go?
Discovery. Discovery.
It's Discovery something. Whatever the app is.
And Ben Bailey, Live and Uncensored, your special, available Amazon, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
it's hilarious.
And go. And on my website. Thank you, man.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
And that one's all me. I produced, directed.
For real? Everything. Where'd you shoot it at?
Yeah. At Up in Chicago.
Yeah, it looked like a dope venue.
It's a great spot, man.
Fantastic.
It was. They don't do stand-up there anymore, but it sucks.
But and then go follow you on all the social medias and all your tour dates and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm Real Ben Bailey.
Yeah.
Real Ben Bailey on all social media. And then
your podcast, Tall But True.
Tall But True. Yeah, we haven't done new ones in a while, but we're going to do some new ones this fall.
Yeah, you got to.
I don't think I'm allowed on that podcast.
It's about the tales, not about the guests.
Oh, okay, good. I was like, wow, Tall But True. Do I show up and there's a bouncer like, nah.
No, you sorry,
podcast bouncer.
The tagline is that the tales might sound tall, but they are true.
Oh, okay.
So it's like we're telling stories, basically.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
They might sound tall, but they're real stories.
And you do it out of?
We do it out of my studio at my house.
Cool.
Where the Emmys are.
Mic drop. Winner.
Fuck you. Mic drop. Here are my Emmys.
It is weird that you brought them to the podcast, I have to say.
I know. I can't help it. I carry them down the street with me. I put one as a hood ornament on my car.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.